The Zone is presented by Guaranteed Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. One more hour to go here on this Monday edition. Nick Schaefer hanging out with us. He's presented by Empower Payments, boosting your business and charity with every transaction. Learn more at empowerpayments.com.
The eclipse is starting.
Yep, it looks like the sun looks like Pac-Man right now.
I just put these headphones on and looked up, and it didn't really do any good. My eyes are still burning.
It's weird. So it's not an impact on your ears, Mick. It's mainly for your eyes.
Oh, I'm supposed to put the glasses on.
Yeah, put the glasses on.
I had headphones and glasses.
Glasses over your ears, though, right?
Either way.
You could have put the headphones over your eyes.
Yeah, I should have.
And then that would have protected your eyes. You also would not have seen the sun. Yeah.
There's so many ways it could have gone with that.
Yeah, that's right. The sun looks like Pac-Man right now.
It does?
And about 1:54 is when it's expected to be at its climax. And then it will eventually then leave the sun's path. At like what, 3:11? 3:11. Okay. 3:11.
Down.
Down, down.
Yeah.
Amber.
Amber is the color of your
my eyes
sun's
right
energy.
Now.
Amber is the color of my eyes right now. Whoa.
Do you think everyone younger than us has zero idea what we're talking about with 3:11? Because I totally think so.
No, most people are aware of stuff.
People are probably aware of 3:11.
Hey, how about this, guys? Hollywood Brown, right?
Hollywood.
You've had Doc Hollywood. You've had Doc Brown. And the guy who played Doc Hollywood.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Starred opposite Doc Brown in that movie. Crazy.
So you're
just
saying
about that
Michael J. Fox
here.
Should be the quarterback for Hollywood Brown. You are willing to get rid of Patrick Mahomes. That's what you're saying. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I think so.
Unless I'm hearing you wrong, I think it's pretty obvious what you're saying. I'm interpreting it one way, but it's it's a pretty obvious interpretation.
It's like Dick Sargent and Dick York were the two guys that played Darren on Bewitched.
Sergeant York. That's right. I was thinking about with Mick while the moon continues to cover the sun of giving play by play.
That's moon going in front of sun.
The moon is cutting in front of the sun.
That would suck. If the sun went in front of the moon.
Yeah. What would happen?
Really close to us.
I think we would all burn.
Really close.
We would all burn.
Get a nice tan.
That's what we have. Mick here for the science.
Yeah,
you know he brings the science aspect to the show.
I don't think he would fit too between us and the sun. Not enough space.
I don't know.
Space is pretty big, Mick. I think.
Not between us and the moon. You know how big the sun is? Sun's not going to fit.
I hear it's large. I've been told it's a fairly large star.
It's our closest star.
Well, outside of Mahomes.
So is Mick. Oh, see, that's going with you. The closest star to us right now is Mick
Schaefer.
How
many of those cheesy jokes will he land today?
None have landed, so zero.
Tempt a lot.
Be the exact same number than we started with.
But I am your sun. Damn, son.
And you're my stars.
Yeah. It's the same thing, really.
I guess, yeah.
I was thinking about doing play-by-play of it.
For you?
Yes. Moon is covering the sun. Moon is covering the sun. Still covering the sun. It's covering the sun more. It's covering the sun more. Looks like it's in the same spot.
Would you need a color analyst?
Covering the sun more. It's covering the sun more, Mick.
Great point.
It's covering the sun.
I'm your color analyst. I'm yellow.
What's the commercial? Who's the player? He dribbles again, and he dribbles, and he dribbles the ball, and he dribbles the ball, and he dribbles the ball, and he dribbles again, and he's dribbling, and he's dribbling. Who is that? The big 7-foot guy that was...
Brooke Lopez?
No. It's
Robin Lopez.
Nope, it's the...
Boban Marjanovic.
George Lopez.
It's George Lopez.
Boban Marjanovic.
Yes, I'm going to go with that one. Yep. Because he sticks his hand in like the Doritos bag or whatever.
That's Boban.
Yes, and then he's just doing play-by-play. He dribbles the ball, and he dribbles again, and he dribbles the ball, and he dribbles the ball, and he dribbles the ball. It's covering the sun. It's covering the sun. It's covering the sun.
Hour 31 left on the shot clock.
It's covering the sun. It's covering the sun. It's covered. It's uncovering the sun. It's uncovering the sun. It's uncovering the sun. There you go. Solar eclipse coverage right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Where are you getting that content anywhere else in America?
Just picture Trent McDuffie on Brandon Ayuk, and that's what they're doing.
Legarius Sneed on Tyreek Hill?
Yeah.
Is what it is. I like the football version of that.
Yeah.
I like the South Carolina defense on Caitlin Clark after the first quarter.
Yeah.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah, just
covered there. Mick, we talked about it last night. I enjoyed the Sunday Sound Off. We started our show today with it in sort of discussing the storylines from yesterday, the South Carolina women and the dominance that they have been on. And even the 2020 tournament that was, you know, canceled, they were, what, a one-loss team going into that tournament.
Unreal.
Since South Carolina lost in the SEC championship game in 2022, they are 80-1 with two national championships, their only loss being Iowa last year in the Final Four. The story yesterday, South Carolina, the dominance and Dawn Staley in an undefeated season, or still Caitlin Clark in the eyeballs that are on the sport and the record-breaking Monday, Friday, and Sunday?
It's a great question. It's why I posed it on Sunday Sound Off.
What would you have done if you... Great question. Thank you, Mick.
Thank you. That's why I asked
Thank you, Mick. I appreciate it. Yep, that's why I thought of it on my own and asked it.
I think the right answer is a couple of you guys hit on it, and that we've seen a run like this from a team before in women's basketball. A few times for UConn, right? A few times for Tennessee.
Tennessee's done it.
And so this is now South Carolina's turn. You can really... You have a lot of dynasties in women's college basketball. We see there's always been a drop off after the first few teams, right? And so we've seen that before. Although it's great, I mean, four straight Final Fours. You have two wins in that time, three national titles, the last seven tournaments, and then just the. I would go back to the last 3 years where they're 109-3.
Yeah,
one of those losses was in overtime to Mizzou.
Mizzou,
well done, Tigers.
There you go.
Well done. Mizzou, Kentucky, and Iowa. So it's amazing, even if you are far and away the best team in your league, in your division, in your level, to go 38-0, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have a down Tuesday, right? You're going to have injuries. You're going to have stuff going on out off the court that's going to cause you to maybe not play well. And if they had that stuff, they were able to overcome it every single time this year. So to go 38-0 is just unbelievable in any sport. But I think we haven't seen this individually from a player like Caitlin Clark. And the amazing thing is that even if she'd never scored a point, she's one of the all-time greatest passers in the history of the game.
She has the most assists in NCAA tournament history. She led the nation in assists.
She led it in assists. So it just gets overshadowed.
We look at her 28-foot shots and her 30-foot shots, and it's like, oh, wait, she's pretty damn good.
It's like when Tiger burst on the scene, like, oh, these drives, he's so good. And he's also the best putter on the planet as well. You know, right? And that's kind of what makes you a great player. That's what makes her, I think, the greatest player that we've seen on the women's side. And so my answer is with Caitlin, but I think it's a great argument because both were the dominant team and the dominant individual.
Well, I think, the argument that's been there about is she the GOAT, is she the greatest of all time? And I know there are previous, women's basketball players.
You're going to say LeBron, aren't you?
Obviously, LeBron's the greatest women's basketball player of all time. Imagine what he would have looked like in college. Imagine what LeBron
sit him down in an interview, and he'll probably tell you he won the women's national title back in 2002.
I guarantee you, he could carry a team to the national championship if he was on Iowa.
He was the first to see Caitlin Clark play. She was 7 years old. Okay, and he said, "I predict this woman's going to break the all-time scoring record." I predicted that 2011. I saw her play. And I knew that was coming.
I actually saw her on the soccer pitch. I was like, that's the best women's basketball player I think I've ever seen.
Ever.
Is right there. Who? The girl that has 5 goals today. But she's a soccer player. Can you imagine what that would look like on a basketball?
Yeah.
Let me get my hands on her.
I can.
Let me teach her. I got her. She's already playing U16 with FIBA.
What were you doing?
Yeah, but regardless of that, I'm saying let me get that soccer player. Yeah, she's already with Team USA.
What were you doing in Des Moines, LeBron?
Scouting. What else would you do in Des Moines? Scouting.
There's a G League team there.
Yeah, it's probably. Yes. I mean, hanging out with Ben McCollum. Hey, Ben, let's go to lunch, with LeBron. That helps out recruiting, right?
Absolutely.
I don't. People can argue, greatest of all time, GOAT, is she a great, defender? Is she all of those different things? But I don't think there's any debate. She's the greatest influence for women's college basketball in the history. Yes, those great UConn teams and watching some great players that come through UConn. I'm like, all right, let's watch this game. Oh, these women are phenomenal. Those Tennessee teams, Baylor for, a few years. Like, okay, these teams are really good. And sometimes you get these matchups of two Goliaths there in the championship of, okay, typically in women's basketball, you have some high-level elite players, and they've, for the most part, funneled to certain specific schools.
Yes.
And now you're starting to see the women's game. You're starting to see more and more talent. get to college and spread out a little bit. So you do have, you know, Iowa that has Caitlin Clark that didn't go to UConn, whether Gino Auriemma chose Paige over her or whatever you want to, whatever the arguments are. You've got, you know, Caitlin is at Iowa, and you've got Juju at USC, mm-hmm. right? You've got a freshman class that is stacked this year that have gone to a lot of different places, some South Carolina, some UConn, right? And so I think we're seeing more of an opportunity of some upsets and some other teams to be, you know, making a run. But as far as like eyeballs on the sport, we've never seen a phenomenon like this in women's basketball.
No.
Ever. And for the records that are being broken, people may be there and watching how great South Carolina is. But if it wasn't for the conversations, the coverage, and good on ESPN, because they blew out coverage in the NCAA tournament. They have it on their station, so it's typically, if it's on their station, they're going to give you a lot of coverage. But I thought they did a pretty damn good job on the coverage of the women's tournament and the Final Four and the pre-games and post-games and viewing it as like, hey, this is like a men's tournament too. We should probably have the coverage of that. And I think they've done a really good job of that. But people are watching, and it's record-breaking because of Caitlin Clark. She may be the greatest ever, but there's never been an influence to bring the eyeballs that she has brought. I don't know that she'll do that for the WNBA. I have no idea. No idea. But I hope that there's staying power and some sustainability for the women's game after Caitlin Clark is done.
Would you agree that my opinion on Caitlin Clark is more or less like Steph Curry? Where if you want to have the conversation, she's not the greatest ever because of the defense, because of her size, maybe not quite as dominant when it comes to...
She didn't win a championship.
Didn't win
she
a
can't
championship.
Be the GOAT without a championship.
But it's almost like Steph Curry, where it's like, okay, so it's not Michael or LeBron, but you understand that she might be the most influential women's basketball player of all time. Now, Steph Curry might be, whether people want to admit it or not, one of the most, if not the most influential basketball players of all time based on what he's done to advance the game. I think Caitlin Clark's done the same thing, but in women's basketball now.
Yeah, they both did something we had not seen before, and it's logo threes, right? Right, and that's something that the women's game can stand apart from the men's game is the shooting, right?
The skill.
And a lot of the skills out there, they're different. But in shooting, a lot of times these women are shooting just as good, sometimes better than the men, and then the passing. Those two things. I mean, some of those looks she had just even yesterday were just amazing. And so those things stood out to where, right, you know, it's not just like I've seen a lot of I mean, Camila Cardoso is just a dominant force. But, okay, it's post moves, back and down, layups, right? We've seen that before. But we haven't seen logo threes. Mm-hmm. And that's what she's been doing for the last 3 years, ridiculous shots. And she's scoring 28 a game or whatever and taking 19 shots. And so it's relatively efficient. And so there's that. And then at Iowa, now look, the other – I feel like they only played five players. They have like one or two women coming off the bench, but nobody scored
and
yesterday.
None of them had a bucket.
But she stands out more from the rest of her teammates, right? Had Taurasi gone to, you know, Oklahoma State or like Dawn Staley gone to K-State or something like that, they would have stood out a lot more, probably scored a lot more. I don't know if they would have had this sort of effect. But as you mentioned before, all the greatest players went to two teams for a long time. It was either Tennessee or UConn, and now we're seeing it spread out. I talked with about Paige Beckers to Brandon Van Lang and all these other great players. I'm like, you know what? It's more compelling because Caitlin's been at Iowa for 4 years. She's been a great player at one school for 4 years. You don't have that in men's college basketball anymore. The NBA is one thing, and now you have the portaling. It feels like the women are portaling a lot less outside of Haley Von Lith, who I think she's going to chase whatever, you know, whoever wins the title, she's going to move.
I think she, looking back, she probably wouldn't have made that decision because she ruined her reputation at Louisville, and nobody at LSU likes her. So, I mean, she moved on from LSU and like, well, she sucked. Good riddance.
She
so
was
now
brutal against Iowa.
So
too.
Now, so she's like a player. She's got no country. She's a woman with no country right now. Like, where do I return to? That's going to love me and accept
me. That creates compelling storylines. That creates casual fans to latch on. That creates eyeballs. That creates money. Right. I would say this year's Final Four for a casual sports fan. The casual sports fan knew more women playing in the Final Four than men.
Well, and it goes back to your point of they stay. They're staying there 3-4 yeah. years, and it's the same thing that happened in college basketball up until about 10 years ago. Kentucky was the outlier, but you had Adam Morrison. Everyone knew Adam Morrison, right? It was kind of the same thing. Everyone knew J.J. Redick for Duke. Everyone knew Kemba Walker. Everyone knew Jimmer Fredette, right? And these are all guys who were their team. The team was centered around these guys. And then even to an extent, the same year, you actually had Norris Cole at Cleveland State. That was a big storyline as well. When you had guys who were staying there 3-4 years, and they're still the focal point, not saying the team around them was great. It was almost like Caitlin Clark in Iowa. It was them and then the others, outside of maybe J.J. Redick. There is something to that. You're right, though, now. Everyone's just one and done besides Zach Edey. But, yeah. I mean, you look at UConn right now. It's a lot of...
Well, when you've got... when you got a number of people that are transferring, and, of course, you got a number of people that are going pro, it is hard to have the stars that stay around, that you know those names year after year after year. And we saw that in college basketball a lot. I mean, we talk about, like, well... Hold on, Shaq was a junior at LSU?
Yeah.
Hold on, a junior? What was he doing staying there a couple more years? Like, we had Jim Jackson on Friday at the Final Four, and I asked him about, you know, the transfer portal, and I'm like, you know, if you were in college today, you know, you played 4 years. No, he played 3 years at Ohio State. You know, he didn't stay all 4 years, but he stayed there for 3 years. And I'm like, would you be in the transfer portal? He's like, I said, would you have played all 3 years at Ohio State with the transfer portal? He goes, well, with today's game, I wouldn't have played all 3 years at Ohio State. I'd have been in the NBA one. And I'm like, well, that's a good point. I said, but if you had played 3 years, he's like, no, I would have stayed at Ohio State. I loved what was going on there. But his point was, I would have had to train. I would have transferred to the NBA. Yeah. It was just different back then that you stayed a couple more years.
Maybe NIL would have helped kept him around for another year. And so that's what I'm hoping happens in the men's game, to where, like, okay, if you're a late first, early second round tag, which like 100 guys get every year, right? Yeah. And it only happened, only 10 of them. Does that transpire?
Yeah.
And if you're one of those guys, does that, and with NIL around, does it, influence you to stick around maybe one or two more years?
Well, I don't think Hunter Dickinson would be in college without NIL. And I'm not saying, and people are like, well, you know, he's a pro. Is he an NBA pro? Or is he a pro? I think when you get to that age, you're probably ready to just to make some money. Like the talk about, like, well, Caitlin Clark, she's going to go pro, so she should return to school, and she's going to make a lot of money in NIL. Yeah, but she doesn't have to do school now. All right, she just does basketball. Basketball's her job.
Cardale Jones.
Yeah, like, I didn't go to Ohio State for school, right? I'm not here for school. Like Angel Reese, well, is it better for her to go to the NBA? Or, well, the WNBA, she didn't have to worry about school. Like, And that would be for anybody. You know, it's like, okay, well, I can stay here. And if you've been there 4 years and you already got your degree, well, now I can make the same amount of money. But now it's my job and my career, and I can focus on this. And without NIL, I think there would be a lot more players that would be, well, I'm going pro. And if it's in Europe, it's in Europe. You know, 2011, John Calipari is now an Arkansas coach. But in 2011, he took a team.
Is that official yet?
It's pretty much close. I think it's pretty much a done deal. Once Jared gets in there.
It says finalizing deal right now.
Finalizing deal. There you go.
Finalizing 5-year deal.
So he took a 4 seed in 2011 to the Final Four. And that team shouldn't have been to the Final Four. They had a player on it named DeAndre Liggins, who was a junior. And he decided to go pro. All right. And everybody's like, this guy's not an NBA player. And his point was, I know. I've got a baby. I got a family. I'm going pro in Europe. I'm making money now. NIL, he probably stays because he was a damn fine player, a fan favorite, really good defensive player. He probably makes enough money to stay his senior year, and he would have been a part of that 2012 team that won the national championship. I mean, that guy was really good, and he wasn't even a part of that team. But he had a child, and he had a fiance, and it was like, I'm making money, so I'm going pro, and I'm going to try to make the NBA, but I'm not going the G League. I'm going to try to make the NBA, and if it doesn't work out, I'm going to Europe to make a good living. And he's made a damn fine living in his career. But the NIL might offer that player to return. Like, again, I think Hunter Dickinson is still in college because of the NIL. I think he might be pro, you know, in Europe. Or maybe he's at the G League trying to make the league. Or maybe he has a spot on an NBA team, right? I mean, because, you know, he is a bigger guy, whatever. But I'm hoping that's the case, that you see more of them stay around and things like that. But I do think NIL is the reason why John Calipari is going to Arkansas. Because
you don't think it's Big Blue Nation?
Well, I think that's part of it. I think if he was winning, if he'd gone to the Final Four a couple more times since 2015, I mean, it's been 9 years with no Final Four at Kentucky. You better get the hell out of here, okay? But he's also 1-3 in the last 4 years in the NCAA tournament. Missed the tournament, and then first-round exit, first-round exit, second-round exit. While, you know, Eric Musselman has at least been 8-3 in those same 4 years.
Yeah, but did he have to go up against Jack Golke?
That's a great point. That's a great point. Eric Musselman has never played a shooter, a white shooter on a smaller mid-major. That's never happened before. Nobody has ever seen that before. I'm not sure how Cal was totally caught off guard. Who are these? What's this white shooter on a mid-major? They don't have these.
Should we run zone?
Never seen this before. You know, and so with NIL, without NIL, he's not going to Arkansas because he's not getting the recruits to Arkansas that he gets to Kentucky. But going to Arkansas, and they're offering him somewhere from $5 to $7 million per year in NIL for basketball? That's totally different. Now he's like, I can get anybody in America to Arkansas, and I'm loved here, and I can get away from the crazy fans at Kentucky, and they don't like me anymore. And they don't have that much money in NIL at UK. They don't have that money. That's way more money in Arkansas for the NIL that they're putting together for him. So without NIL, I don't think he leaves Kentucky because you're not going to recruit like that at Arkansas like you can do at Kentucky. Now he can afford anybody in America to go to Arkansas. So in a way, the NIL has also had John Calipari transfer.
So Arkansas basketball has more money for NIL than Kentucky basketball.
They are putting together, so the Tyson family, they are willing to invest.
Yeah, chicken nuggets.
The Mike Tyson family are willing. They are apparently with some of the reports behind the scenes are going to invest millions and millions of dollars on a yearly basis in basketball if they were to get John Calipari.
They're ear-shaped nuggets.
Jerry Jones also willing to invest money in the basketball
Arkansas
program if Calipari gets there. So part of the deal for Calipari is you're getting $8 million a year. But it might be upwards of $15 million total with your salary and NIL here at Kentucky.
Well, let me pull a Josh Briscoe for you guys. I'll pull a Briscoe and go off topic since you said Tyson. Mike Tyson, anyone seeing how he's going to fight one of the Paul brothers in boxing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is going to be insane. Like, this is... What'd you say?
Jake?
Oh, Jake. Paul, I thought you said something else, and I was very caught off guard for a second. Why I said what? Anyone else, like, stoked to watch this? That I get it's a, what, 50-year-old man?
Yeah, I'm hoping that he knocks him out. Have you seen him train? Oh, I'm hoping he knocks him out, yeah.
Have you seen Mike Tyson train at his age? This is, it's absurd, it's obscene.
Yeah, I wouldn't enter the ring with Tyson. I mean, well, I'll enter the ring for the right amount of money. Yeah,
sure.
I shouldn't say I wouldn't.
Dog, that guy
for
is...
For fun, I wouldn't enter the ring, just for fun. S's and G's, let's see what he's still got.
The Paul brothers are better boxing than I want them to be. And look, age matters. Size matters, reach, all that stuff. I hope it does not matter with Mike Tyson because my entire childhood would be just erased. I mean, that was the biggest. We had HBO, and every time he fought was just a huge event.
Absolutely.
And then he lost.
I never once thought boxing or stuff was fixed. I just don't. Maybe I'm naive.
Really?
Don't look at me like that.
Interesting. There's never been a fight that's been fixed in boxing.
But
that's an interesting movie, Snatch.
Digstown?
But my point is, if Mike Tyson loses to a Paul brother, then I will.
Will you be appalled?
Will you look at boxing and think that it needs to have Paul Bearers now?
You can turn my mic off.
I'm wearing these glasses, so don't throw to me with one of these jokes to go to break. I can't see.
You can't see me.
Cannot
point to
see
you.
A thing. So.
All right, we'll take a...
you eclipsed that conversation there. We were just going strong with Arkansas and Cal and all that stuff.
I got excited about... I saw Mike Tyson doing his boxing training videos, and he's calling out the Paul brother, and I'm all Mike Tyson right now.
I think everybody is.
I think so, too. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll go dark for a few minutes here on this segment, but you'll hear some commercials, so not totally dark. Only 90%. All right, let's get some Learn Funniest Best from the Weekend. What we learned, the funniest from the weekend, the best from the weekend, it is presented by Pyramid Roofing. For a free estimate, 816-966-1101 or pyramidroofingkc.com. Sterling, you familiar with Learn Funniest Best?
Good. Oh, yeah, baby.
Good, great, grand, wonderful. Get on the bus. One of the things that I learned from the weekend, and I'd mentioned it just a little bit in you guys talking about LeBron taking credit for discovering Caitlin Clark's talents in Des Moines somehow, that came back to that. But I joked about, you know, LeBron seeing her on the soccer pitch and thinking she can be a great basketball player. Turns out, Caitlin Clark was a really, really good stud soccer player while also being a phenomenal basketball player. While playing for the U16 team, Team USA in basketball in the FIBA Championships, Caitlin Clark, she also played varsity soccer as a freshman. She played in only 6 games for a well-established program that made the state tournament every year, so a good program. She was a freshman. She played in only 6 games her freshman year, scoring 26 goals.
Wow.
Was the only freshman named All-State that year in the 6 games, she played in while playing with the U16 FIBA Championships and Team USA. And then her sophomore year, they decided that she needed to focus on basketball and no more soccer. 6 games, 26. There was a whole story about her as a soccer phenom, as like 11 and 12 years old, and her playing for all these tournament teams and traveling teams, and her, you know, with these crazy goals.
She making goals from like, you know, midfield.
They told a story of she asked the coach, can I just kick it from midfield to score? And he was like, well, do whatever you want. So they had another girl touch the ball, and she came in and kicked it, and the goalie was out of place, and it went over the goalie's head and into the goal. Like, oh, tied up 1-1. So they had all these stories about her on the soccer pitch, and then her dad talking about why eventually they chose basketball. But it was like, she could have been a pretty bad soccer player, too. So that's what I learned, is that maybe she's just an awesome athlete that has sort of that competitive spirit that's like a bleep you on whether it's the soccer pitch or the basketball court.
Usually those great ones, they were pretty good at other stuff, too.
It's not exactly like, right.
Man, LeBron was only good at basketball. He couldn't have done anything else.
Mahomes, only a quarterback, right?
Only a quarterback.
He was just a specialized quarterback.
Nothing else.
Never played basketball or baseball or anything. What'd you learn, Sterling?
I learned that Ladd McConkey is apparently a very good ping pong player, and that he respects Mizzou a lot. He's a very big respecter of Mizzou.
You learned that?
Those are two random things to learn
about Ladd McConkey.
Yeah.
I know you interviewed Ladd McConkey.
I interviewed him.
How was the lad?
Very good dude. He made me really want the Chiefs to draft him at 32.
Well, that will make Stephen St. John's day. He is his draft crush is well known, is Ladd McConkey. And I ain't disagreeing with him, by the way.
Can I give you a comp? I think he is the
offensive
version of George Karloftis, where I think you have a guy who can step in week one, game one, and make an impact. While he might not have the upside of a superstar player, which, again, when you're drafting at 32, it's hard to find, but you have a guy who can come in game one, week one, and you can trust that guy. You can do that with George. I think you can do the same thing with Ladd McConkey.
Nice. Okay. What'd you learn, Mick?
I learned that back in 1972, a pitcher named Wilbur Wood for the White Sox, he's a knuckleball pitcher, started both games of a doubleheader.
Wow. That's amazing.
He lost them both. I think he didn't, like, record an out of the first one. And they're like, well, you didn't throw much the first game. We'll just throw, the second game.
You're a knuckleballer. You can throw
he
all
day.
He
threw, like, 379 innings that year. 379.
It should be mandatory. All pitchers should throw knuckleballs. There you go. We'll get rid of Tommy John surgery. Yeah.
He got shelled against the first team game one, and they're playing the same team game two, correct?
That's how doubleheaders work.
Yeah, no. I'm glad you're with me here.
Well, I'm just making sure you're with me, actually.
My point is you get shelled at game one.
He was really good.
The same offense. He obviously didn't have it that day. What is it?
We're really getting worked up about this story.
Bad managerial in 1972.
They won like 30 games that year.
You know, maybe different
climate. Really good.
You know, the wind comes in a little bit later in the afternoon. Now the knuckleball's dancing a little bit more.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah,
you know?
You never know.
A little warmer.
Get it back.
Go get a different ball. Scuff up the next ball. You know, really get that thing dancing. What'd you learn, Dylan, besides doubleheaders are against the same team?
So I learned that Caitlin Clark scored more points this season than Iowa football did the entire 4 years that she was in college.
I bet it's not even close,
It is close.
It is?
So awesome.
You know what? It is not close, actually.
It's not close. How many did she have this year?
She had 1,234, and Iowa football had 1,028.
So about 200 more points than Iowa did in 4 years of football. You know, they get 7 points for each time they get it.
Yes.
6.
Yes.
Maybe 7. Who knows?
Well, 3 a lot for them.
They get 3 points. That's true.
2 maybe more than they get 6.
Boy, your strategy made me some money this year of just next possession Iowa punt. Live betting Iowa games, next possession punt. Next possession punt. For both. Next possession punt. Even when they're on defense, next possession punt.
What are the odds of those? Like minus 290?
Minus 250, minus 260. But when you're winning like 8 in a row, you make some money. Sterling, what's the funniest for you? We start with you and funniest.
Yeah, so originally out of Arkansas only having two players on the roster now. Well, that's now down to one player on the roster as Trevon Brazil just declared for the NBA draft.
Oh, good for
so
him.
The only player they currently have is a arriving freshman in Isaiah Elohim. Don't know how to say his last name. I apologize. And even that, I don't know if he's still going to be going there. So of the entire roster of Arkansas, they have at a maximum one dude currently on the roster.
I think Cal will get some players there. I think they'll have more than one player next year when they play.
Bold.
I'm just going to go out on a limb. My team's Cal, you've got one player out here. My team's on the floor. Let's see how they do. Mick, what was the funniest for you from the weekend?
The funniest for me was there's a Twitter account, X account, Iowa Hawk Blog is his name. He's a political satirist.
Yeah.
Political satire. Yeah. He is a vintage car expert, and as you might imagine, he's a big Iowa fan, lives down in Texas. And so after the call right at the end of the Iowa-UConn game, he tweeted out, now let's go to our six studio analysts, all of them who graduated from UConn, and see what they thought about the call. That is funny.
I didn't think it was they had the UConn.
Sue Bird and Taurasi, what do you guys think?
Oh, it's a bad call. You can't call that there. Can't call that there.
Weird.
Paige Beckers is so much better than she is.
I'll take
Paige Beckers.
Why would you think that? That's odd.
Yeah. Oh, I loved the overreactions immediately. Oh, Roger, you can't call that there. Totally a good call with James Bradbury, though.
They wanted to get her to the championship game.
Even Chiefs fans are having things rigged for him.
Well, and then ESPN did a horrible job of just showing the one tight replay of the top part of the torso. And, yeah, it didn't look like a whole lot there from that angle. Then you see the wide ankle of, like, it was like a good, like, Will Shields thought that was a good block, right?
Yeah, you stuck the left leg out and then gave a little forearm
shiver. It was like a PAT block. You just go out.
Just block down.
It was Juwan Taylor coming out of that snap. I mean, he was really getting out of there.
Well, she was called for a false start, unfortunately, and a hold. That's too bad. All right, but oddly enough, you mentioned Juwan Taylor. She was called for the foul. So what was the funniest for you, Dylan?
The funniest for me, the Chicago Bulls color commentator, Stacey King, was calling out Joe Ingles. He was talking a little smack, and then this happened.
Joe Ingles and Javonte Green.
Joe Ingles is like that drunk uncle that's always saying something. Like, be quiet.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you're like,
the
drunk uncle, man, that's always at the picnic just harassing people. Like, I used to be this. I'm like, man, go sleep.
Hey, man, I was all excited for him to come in the game because I got a note for him.
My favorite is the end right there. I was so excited for him to come in the game. I had a note for him.
I had a note for him. It was a note. You know, Joe Ingles, I found this last night. I was pumped, and then you just poo-poo all over it. Dang it.
Drunkle.
My funniest was from WrestleMania in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And it's before WrestleMania. The Rock was having a big meet and greet and was doing this big event where he was going to be interviewed. And he showed up on, I think, Friday, 2 hours late. He showed up 2 hours late, and the fans were not happy. So it's the Rock heel turn. He is now no longer being beloved. He is now the heel and is the bad guy. So here is the Rock heel turn to the fans in Philadelphia that aren't happy about his lateness of 2 hours.
The Rock was supposed to be here at 4 o'clock. Is that what you were doing? You're booing because The Rock was a little late. Is that why you were booing? Why was The Rock late? You want to know? You want to know why The Rock was late? Are you sure? You want to know? Why The Rock was late? He was watching YouTube. Watching Jalen Hurts lose in the playoffs again. Oh, it's because it's the truth. Now, The Rock is showing up. You've got greatness in front of you. You stand there, shut your mouth, and enjoy the ride that The Rock is taking you on.
Oh,
lean into that,
baby.
The
full heel turn with The Rock. You want to know why The Rock was late? I was watching YouTube of Jalen Hurts losing in the playoffs again. You're booing because you know it's true. What was the best for you, Mick?
The best for me was so the golf tournament Valspar, right? On what was it? No, what was the Valero?
yesterday, Denny McCarthy played 72 holes of golf in that tournament at 92 putts.
That's unbelievable.
Insane.
1.27 putts per green. It's just, I didn't think that's humanly possible. And then he goes to the playoff hole and just dunks one from about 100 yards.
Against the
20
guy,
yards or against a guy whose shoulder had popped out. And so Akshay Bhatia then decides, like, well, I'm going to get a trainer and make sure they pop my shoulder back in, put some tape on it, because I have an 80-yard chip shot, and I don't want to do the same thing. And he ended up winning.
That's crazy. So. Dylan, best for you?
Short and simple. I don't know if you've seen it. They photoshopped Calipari's face into the Petrino neck brace photo. I was hoping you'd seen it.
Oh, I saw it.
Amazing.
It's so great. It might be my Twitter avatar moving forward. I'm not sure. My best goes back to WrestleMania, too. Jason Kelce showing up at WrestleMania in the luchador mask and then revealing himself. And Jason Kelce just, I don't know that he's going to wear a shirt in retirement now. So it's like J.R. Smith after they won the championship. He walked around shirtless for the next month. That's what Jason Kelce should do. What's the best for you, Sterling?
The White Sox deciding to grab all the former Royals players and personnel from the 100-loss era and then being surprised when they're two scoops of ass. I am shocked that the Benny Hill music is not playing at all times when they take the field. I don't know if you guys saw earlier, they couldn't get a first base coach about a week ago.
That's right.
Couldn't find a first base coach.
Anybody? Somebody get out there. Anybody. Somebody get out there.
And then they decided to try and challenge a home run, which technically MJ Melendez, the first one, was actually a ground rule double.
Didn't challenge that one.
And then they challenged the one that was clearly a bomb.
It's phenomenal.
That's the White Sox.
You know what? Sweep them. Right on back to Chicago.
How many games do you play in your division now against each team? It's not 19 anymore.
No,
is it?
It's not. It's not a weighted schedule. It's a balance now. It's stupid. Not unbalanced. They should unbalance these things.
I had to watch them for years when you had season tickets. I had to watch the Tigers and White Sox for years. We had Frank Thomas, and now I got to watch them.
Put your thumb on the scales of schedules and make this thing unbalanced.
I'm the sports director.
You should do that.
I can do that.
More Zone next. Yeah. All right, guys, UConn, Purdue, -7. I'll take Purdue plus the points.
So will I.
Purdue plus the points?
Give me the Huskies.
Huskies -7. Dylan?
Yeah, give me Huskies -7.
All right, we're split. I like it. I like that. We'll see. Clips going on right now, in case you didn't know. Kevin Wilds tweets out, sunglasses store. If you ever want to go to the beach, the lens needs to be polarized, and those start at $125. The Eclipse, you can use these to stare directly into the sun for $3. So true. Later, guys. Enjoy the Eclipse, everybody. Program next. Yay. National championship tonight.